Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
It's from 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Well, this morning we're talking about prophecy, and we're going to be answering the question, what prophecy should do to us. I read a comic once where a guy is making a frantic phone call. He says, "My wife just left me. I lost my job. I need surgery, and my spirits have hit bottom. Pastor, you've got to help me. What's the difference between pre, post, and amillennialism?" We can get hung up on those things, can't we? Pre, post, and amillennialism. And people today are getting a little hung up on prophecy in the sense of details. And I think in some ways missing what prophecy should be doing to us and in us. In reality, no one in the biblical days would ever have heard of pre, post, or amillennialism. And if you want to read an excellent book on it, and you really want to get delved in it, because you're turning on your computers, you're watching YouTube, and you watch all these predictions about the world ending and so forth, if you want to do that, I recommend a book that will help you very much understand the end times, and by Dr. Paul Benware. And if you were to have that book and read that book, you would find that it would be helpful to you, because he does it in a very instructive way, but in a way that you and I can grasp it and get a hold of it. And you read the three views, you'll find the pros and cons. I am pre-trib, and probably most of you are too, but it's more than just understanding the end times chart. It's what does prophecy do for us and in us? And the Bible tells us that the Lord will return for us as believers, and we should be ready. So what is it then that prophecy does to us, or in us, or for us? And so I want to look at six effects of prophecy in our lives today, and the value of understanding why God gave it to us. First thing, prophecy educates us. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." And that's a great encouragement. There are two kinds of grievers in this world. Those who have no hope, or just think that I might get to heaven, or those who know that they're going to heaven because they have had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They've confessed him as their Lord and Savior, believed in their heart that he's risen from the dead, asked them to become their Savior. And, you know, I do a lot of funerals, not that I'm lining up for them, but just seems that I've been involved with many, many, many funerals in life. And at the funeral, often, not often, but many times, I've been at a funeral where I don't know the person. I'll get a call from a funeral director and say, "Would you come and do this funeral?" Now, The next question I want to know in my mind is, did they know the Lord? It's hard to preach some funerals because you have no evidence of the person's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I always preach the gospel, but I want to be kind and courteous to the family, but I want to make sure that they understand the eternal issue. There's two kinds of grievers. Listen, we lose a loved one and we weep and we're sad, but if we know they're going to heaven, we have a burden lifted from us, and we're not overcome with grief. Our grief is different. We don't grieve as those who have no hope, but we have the full expectation that we will see our loved ones again. 1 Peter 1:19, and we have the prophetic word made fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention. That's the idea. Pay attention. Jesus is coming back as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And so he goes on to say in chapter 3, this is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, notice what he's doing, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. Prophecy educates us. The more you know about it, the more you know Jesus is coming. Nothing will ever stop him from coming. And believers will be with him forever and ever after he comes. We have nothing to fear about our eternal destiny because it is secure in Christ. And Peter and the Lord is coming back, as Peter said, that we should remember the predictions, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. And if you study the Bible at all, you know that there are hundreds of predictions. The first coming of Christ, some the second coming of Christ. The ones on the first coming of Christ were fulfilled just as the scriptures said. You can be fully assured that the prophecies of the second coming of Christ will be fulfilled just as the scriptures say they will be. And so he wants us to learn and to think. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. People will scoff. Hey, Jesus said he's coming back. Where is he? And they'll scoff and they'll push back, but we don't have to worry about it. They are following their evil desires. They want to have a cover-up for sin. But the reality is Jesus is coming back. And we need to know that, and we need to live that. And so we need to understand what the Bible teaches affects my reactions. When an unbeliever makes fun of the fact that we are waiting for Jesus to come back, what that does for me is it makes me just grind in. I know what the scriptures say. I know whom I believed, and I am convinced that he is able. He is able to keep his promise until that day. And so I rest in that. 2 Peter 3:4, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. And so they'll say, well, you tell us about Jesus coming back. Where is he? Well, they'll find out soon enough. We need to hold strong and not bend. The unbelieving world will mock and challenge your faith, and we need to be aware. In 2 Peter 3:5, for they will deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago, the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And it says, and by means of these, the world that had existed was deluged with water and perished. Now, you know, this used to be a day where a lot of people said, oh yeah, you believe in a worldwide flood, we believe in evolution, all the other stuff. Listen, more and more secular articles are being written on the fact that every time research is out doing archaeological studies and all, they're finding more and more that the world had a flood that covered the whole world. Even secular articles are writing these things more and more. And so we know what the Bible says, but now secular articles and scientists are beginning to agree with what the Bible said. More and more evidence is being found. And so we need to not worry about it. We know what Scripture says. We know what Scripture says is true. And we know what Scripture says about the coming of the Lord is true. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But then notice this, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day is a surprise, for that day to surprise you like a thief. I'm not, when Jesus comes back, I may be surprised by the moment, whoosh, but do you think I'll be surprised that he came? Not at all. I know exactly what he said and exactly what he'll do because he made that promise. But you're not in the darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. And then it goes on to say, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For God has not destined us for wrath. That's great to know. When Jesus comes back, I have nothing to worry about. I've not been destined for wrath. If you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, ask him to forgive your sins and come into your life, and he saves you based on your crying out to him. When he comes, you are his child, and you have nothing to fear. For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's encouraging. We have trials, sure, and we might suffer as Christians, but we never experience the wrath of God. Never. And it says, 1 Thessalonians 5:10, who died for us, notice why, so that whether we are awake or asleep, hey, if I die now, I'm going to go to heaven. Not because of who I am, but because of what Jesus did. And I've put my faith and trust in him. So it says, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, notice this, we might live with him. You know, when people die and they go to heaven, it's sort of like, are they gone? Well, somebody up there says, hey, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. We knew you were coming because you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So prophecy educates, and prophecy encourages us. We learn and we grow, and we're ready for the coming of the Lord. Prophecy also energizes us. And how's it energize us, and what it energizes for us to do? It energizes us to live a godly life. Notice in 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Let me ask you a question. What do you want Jesus to find you doing when he comes? Is it something that you shouldn't be doing, something you do in the darkness? As believers, we should be living in holiness, and we should be living in expectation, and we should be aware that Jesus could come any minute. And when Jesus comes, I want to be found living for him, serving for him, having a heart for him. And so he tells us, abide in him, so we won't be ashamed. Imagine going to heaven and knowing you could have really lived a righteous life. You accepted Christ, but you didn't really live it out and then give an account to the living God. And so, no, we don't have to do that. It energizes us to live a holy life. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And then he goes on to say this, Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself, for he is pure. And you remember the little song we used to teach kids, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little ears what you hear. And then we go on to say, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Everything we do is before the Father. You're never in absolute privacy. You could be locked in a totally dark room with just you, but I promise you, God's there too. And he knows exactly what you are doing. And so we choose to purify ourselves. I want to live a righteous and a holy life. And one of the things that motivates me, that energizes me, is Jesus is coming again. And he's coming for me. And I want to be ready on the day that he's coming. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people." That's the offer. All people can be saved. The gospel covers anybody and anywhere that someone will put their faith in Christ. But when we accept him, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Why? Notice the next verse. Waiting for our blessed hope. Are you waiting for Jesus to come? Are you longing for Jesus to come? Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. Notice what they're doing. Who are zealous for good works. It energizes us to be all that we can be. The more confidence you have in the coming of Christ, the more you will live a holy and a righteous life. Zealous means showing a great energy and enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause. And I believe Jesus is coming. It's going to affect every area of my life because I want to be zealous for good works because of the knowledge of the Lord coming. So prophecy educates us. Prophecy encourages us. Prophecy energizes us, but also prophecy produces endurance in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." And verse 52, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." And then he goes on to say, For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And so what happens as a result of that is we modify our lives. 1 Corinthians 15:54, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying," listen to this, "Death, where is?" Death is swallowed up in victory. "Oh, death, where is your victory?" I don't fear death. Do you fear death? There is no fear of death if you believe Jesus is your Savior. If you've trusted him, and you don't have to live in terror. If you were to die now, you go to heaven. If Jesus comes back, you go to heaven. Either way, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven. That's the promise of the Word of God. "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hang in there. Be faithful. You are going to go to be with Jesus, whether he comes back today or whether you leave before he comes back. Either way, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. That's the promise of Scripture. But prophecy produces in us endurance. It helps us to hang on and hang in because we believe that Jesus is alive and well and is coming again. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brothers," listen to what he tells us to do, "be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." God knows everything I do. He knows if I love him. He knows if I serve him. And when we serve the Lord and honor him with all of our heart, it's not in vain. Sometimes you may not get the respect that you deserve from man for doing that which is God glorifying and helpful. Doesn't matter. God is the scorekeeper. Everything we do for the Lord, and we know it is not in vain. So I endure because I believe in the future. I endure because I know that my earthly trials are not eternal, and one day I'll be in the presence of the Lord. So prophecy educates us. Prophecy encourages us. Prophecy energizes us. Prophecy produces endurance in us. But next, prophecy excites us. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And notice what's going to happen. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. Listen, are you sick and tired of Satan? Are you sick and tired of temptation and struggles? Be aware of this. No one's tempted in heaven. No one's tempted in eternity. No one has a sin nature when they go to be in the presence of the Lord. You will be set free from all those kinds of things. And we are looking and we are waiting because we want to be set free. It's a little bit like this. Remember the old TV shows where you have the cavalry come in, you're fighting an enemy and you're outnumbered, and all of a sudden the cavalry rushes in and rescues you. Well, sometimes you say, that which I would not do, I find myself doing, oh wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? And here's Jesus to the rescue. And he'll do that. The more you count on prophecy and believe in prophecy, the more you will have victory in your life for living today. So, prophecy educates, encourages, energizes, produces endurance in us, excites us. But here's the next thing it'll do. Prophecy will embolden us, and that's an important issue. Prophecy will cause us to be willing to speak out for our loved ones. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice this next line. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Now, what has God done? He's done so much for me. And I know the truth of the gospel. I know that if you are saved, you go to heaven. If you're not saved, you do not go to heaven. I'm aware of that. So let's say it's Christmas time, and I'm sitting with family members around the table. What's some of the thoughts? I know that if Jesus came today, this one and this one and this one, they're going to go to be with the Lord. But what about this one and this one? Does it not encourage you to speak truth? Speak it in love, but to speak truth, to share the gospel, let your loved ones know. And wherever you can, not only your loved ones, but your acquaintance, wherever you can, you want to let them know. How do you let them know? You let them know your hope, what you believe. I believe that God is going to take me to heaven, not on the basis of any deeds I've done, not on the basis of anything that I could have done, but on the basis of what Christ did. So he says, we're going to go to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, whom by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Listen, God wants Christians to be filled with joy. Have you ever met a mopey Christian? You know why they're mopey? Because they have lost faith in the promises of God. And they're not looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if that fills your life, and you are aware that the Savior is coming back, it says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in prayer and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. Now, when you have that happening, you believe in the gospel, you believe that Christ is your Savior, you believe that you have eternal life, you believe you're going to go to glory when you die, or the rapture comes first, whichever, you're going to go directly to be with the Lord. You can't help but be overflowed. As the psalmist would say, my cup runs over. So what happens? Well, Paul says in Romans 1:15, so I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And here's why. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed that my sins have been forgiven and I've been granted eternal life. I am not ashamed. And here's something else. When I get a chance, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell people of my hope. When you have something exciting in your life, you have great promises in your life, don't hold it back. I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. How long? For eternity. And I'm not ashamed to tell people I'm a Christian. and I love the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it says this: "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy." And notice this next line: "And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." I don't know how fast it's going to be. I just know that the gospel emboldens me. I have something to share with a dying world about life eternal and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Should we not speak of our Lord to our lost friends, our beloved friends and family and so forth? Should we not speak to the Lord whenever we get the opportunity? And when you do, you'll be surprised how God will use you, and you'll be surprised how much more you're looking to the coming of the Lord. Well, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus coming back? How many believe that? Amen, I do believe it. If Jesus is coming back, he's coming for you. And you have a story to tell. You have something to share. And it could be today. It could be that I go home to eat, and just as I'm sitting at the table, whoosh, I'm gone. Now, my wife won't say, "Where are you?" Because guess what? She's gone with me, because she knows the Lord. Then think about how many people need to discover the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not gifted with evangelism, but you are gifted with witness. Wherever you go, you are able to share, "My hope is in the Lord. He not only forgave me and made me a child of God, but one day I will be with him forever, whether it be in the rapture or whether it be at my death. I'm going to be with the Lord." When I was a student at Moody, we had a famous songwriter that used to come in and often sing his songs and lead us in these songs. And one of my favorite songs, his name was John Peterson, John W. Peterson. One of my favorite songs when he came was "Marvelous Message." It's called "Jesus is Coming Again." "Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King." Here it is: "Jesus is coming again." I want to see maybe we can get some of those hymns in our morning worship. We need to be constantly reminded, Jesus is coming again. The chorus says, "Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. I don't know when, I just know what. I know he is coming again to receive me and to receive all believers unto himself. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again." Wouldn't that be cool if it happened now and all the cars in the parking lot would be stuck there? Because Jesus came again. I wait for that day. I pray you do too. Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for reminding us of your promise. You are the Son of God. You gave your life, you died, you were buried, you rose again, and you said if anyone will trust you, you will make them your child, and you will take them to be with you for eternity. We are aware that we live in a messed up world, but we are also aware that we have the wonderful, wonderful prophecies of God. We will be with Jesus, and how much we praise you and look forward to that day and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.